Hi, guys. It is me, D-Tacos, and this is Dirtbag History. Welcome. Greetings and salutations. Today's episode is brought to you by LaCroix. Best seltzer around. Check it out. LaCroix.com. Talking about a very special event. It's very often referred to as Operation Valkyrie. It is also referred to as the July 20th plot. This plot was a decapitation strike on Uncle Adolf Hitler, the Führer of Nazi Germany. Why did they do this? Let's take it back. July 20th, 1944. Hot as fucking balls in East Prussia at the Wolf's Lair, which was the Nazi high command, basically their command center for where they, commanded, for lack of a better word, the war in the East against the Soviet Union. And you got to think, July 20th, 1944. D-Day happened about 7 weeks before this. So they got motherfuckers on both sides, East and West. You got the Brits, the Americans, Canadians, the Australians, the Allies on one side on the West, and the Soviet Union on the East. So things are closing in. The once, unstoppable war machine that everybody thought was the Nazi military showed its faults, showed that it could be beaten. It was like the minute when Rocky and Rocky IV actually cuts the Russian guy, Ivan Drago, and he sees that he's not a machine, he's a man. That's what's going on here. So let's put in the mindset of the officers of the German army and what made them go to this point where they try to fucking blow up Adolf Hitler. They're over it, basically. They know that they're losing. They know what they need to do is get rid of Hitler, secure Germany, and try and make some kind of peace deal with the Allies. So, all right, so we're back. We're in East Prussia. Nowadays, it's Poland at the Wolf's Lair. It's hot as balls. It's at least 95 degrees plus humidity. Yuck. Who needs that shit? Not me. Not this guy. There's a conference room inside of a bunker where the meeting's supposed to be held. They move it last minute because it's too hot. They don't have air conditioning at this time. And they move it to an outside conference, a place that's not a bunker. It's basically just an office with a conference room with windows. The windows are open and stuff like that. So it dramatically lessens the effect of the explosion. Even though the explosion is pretty effective, it kills 4 people and injures 13. Hitler is injured, busted eardrum, and supposedly one of his arms is pretty badly mangled. And at this point, Hitler's already suffering from Parkinson's and stuff like that. He's probably taking a fuck ton of drugs. The main conspirators here is Henning von Treskow, Erwin von Witzleben, and Klaus von Stauffenberg. If you've seen the movie Valkyrie in 2008, Bryan Singer made it. He's a known pedophile. Also, he made Usual Suspects. Piece of shit movie. One of the most overrated crime drama movies maybe ever. And people my age like to think of back of it as like to think back on it fondly. I guarantee you those people haven't watched it in 20 years that it came out. Because if you go back and watch it now, the movie does not hold up. It's a steaming pile of shit. And I know Kaiser Sose, big twist at the end, Kevin Spacey playing a paraplegic, but he's actually Kaiser, blah, blah, blah. This movie stinks. It stinks. Bryan Singer's overrated. And also a pedophile. I don't even know if it's allegedly. I think he got charged, but let's just say allegedly. Fuck it. He's a pedo. So yeah, the one gripe I got with the movie overall is pretty well done. It's a Tom Cruise vehicle. Tom Cruise stars in it. I don't know why they use the term vehicle to describe like a project that big stars are working on. I guess because they drive the whole movie. Maybe who knows? Question for the philosophers. So anyway, the movie, it's pretty good. My only gripe with it is that everyone's speaking English, and like 75% of the entire cast is British and speaking with British accents when they're playing Nazi German officers. They do a little device in the beginning. There was this oath that Nazi soldiers had to take, like, you know, basically swearing their allegiance to Hitler. So what they do is in the beginning of the oath, they're reading it. It's like a voiceover. They're reading it in German, and then it slowly transitions into English. And I guess that's supposed to set you up like, okay, you know, we're going to disconnect belief right now, and these guys are actually speaking English. I get it. It's probably the best thing you could probably do in terms of like trying to make money and stuff like that. You don't really want people to be reading subtitles because, let's be honest, the vast majority of people in this country are fucking stupid. So, you know, you want to make it as easy as possible. So that movie tells a whole story. The Henning Van Treskow guy kind of takes a backseat in the movie, and this guy was actually like pretty like one of the main got like architects of this entire German resistance. He was working out since like the late 30s, trying to you know, garner any kind of support in terms of like trying to get rid of Hitler and stuff, because they saw, you know, at this point in 1944, the writing was on the wall. Shit was hitting the fan. You know, the Germans were eventually going to be beat. Eventually what happens is Van Treskow gets sent to the Eastern Front, and he's basically off the board. Von Stauffenberg, this dude, he's got a famous last name, German aristocrat, super religious Catholic dude. The family goes back, you know, probably centuries. It's like a super noble family in Germany. And what he wanted to do, I think, well, most of these guys wanted, it wasn't like these guys wanted to come in and like give everybody democracy and make it a free place where people could vote and stuff. There was still going to be a right-wing authoritative regime, but they just wanted to get rid of Hitler because they knew, I mean, anybody was better than fucking Hitler, for, you know what I'm saying? Like, come on, you know? So von Stauffenberg, war hero, got blown up in northern Africa, lost an eye, lost a hand, lost a couple fingers on the other hand. So he came back and was seen as like a big time, you know, war hero. So essentially what they wanted to do was kill Hitler, initiate Operation Valkyrie, take control of all the government sectors in Berlin, all the government ministries, all that. Put SS guys and Gestapo guys, the people who were like super hardcore Hitler people, they wanted to get them and arrest them and get them under control, because they knew if they took Berlin, they'd be able to relay messages to all their outposts, whether it be in France, all over Europe, that Hitler's dead, this is what's going on, and they would immediately try and strike a fucking peace deal with the Allies. My guy Klaus... this guy Klaus has a set of fucking brass balls on him, let me tell you, just because, like, he was, like, one of the conspirators. He wasn't supposed to be the guy fucking, you know, supposed to be pulling the trigger. He wasn't, like, the, initially supposed to be the guy, you know, with the fucking suicide vest on. So he had a meeting in East Prussia, and this was the plan. Blow up Hitler, kill him. Then fly back to Berlin, which was, like, a 4-hour flight. And then take control of the from the general army, the reserve army headquarters, start taking control of different government sectors and eventually the entire German government. So this maniac blows up Hitler, then jumps on a plane and comes back to Berlin. So like those 4 hours, there was mass confusion, no real confirmation if Hitler was dead or not. One of the generals calls the Wolf's Lair and gets word that Hitler's not dead. So that delays them calling Operation Valkyrie. Delays the reserve army being mobilized and starting to take control of the government. So Stauffenberg rolls up. He lands, touches down, as they call it in the biz. And he's like, what the fuck went? What's up? Why aren't we fucking? Why isn't Operation Valkyrie already cooking? It's cold. It should be red hot right now. It should be cooking right now. They eventually end up mobilizing Operation Valkyrie. The head of the German reserve army was General Fromm. He played both sides. He was sitting on the fence, not really, he wasn't really committing to either side. He was going to wait to see where the wind was blowing, and then he was going to go that way. So what ends up happening is Stauffenberg, Olbrich, and the crew at the Reserve Army headquarters take Fromm prisoner and enact Valkyrie themselves, because Fromm don't want to play ball, even though he knew what was going on. And basically, I think he got a call saying that Hitler was alive. There was mass confusion. So he knew that as long as Hitler was alive, these guys aren't going anywhere. Like, you know what I mean? Like, this is not going to work. And, you know, just to go back to this guy, Treskow, I mean, this motherfucker was trying to clip Hitler for a few years here. During 43 and early 44, von Treskow and von Stauffenberg organized at least 5 attempts to get one of the military conspirators near enough to Hitler for long enough to kill him with hand grenades, bombs, or a revolver. March 13th by Treskow, March 21st, 19, these are both 1943, by, listen to this fucking name, Rudolf Christoph Freiherr von Gerstorff. Bro, cut it down. Just Rudolf Gerstorff. Rudolf Gerstorff. I don't need 450 fucking middle names. No disrespect, and I appreciate what you try to do, but you know what? Let's go by 2 fucking names. Maybe 3. You want to throw a Von in there? The Von is there, but there's 2 other names. You want to throw a Von in there, Rudolf von Gerstorff? I'm in, cuz. But Rudolf Christoph Freiherr von Gerstorff? Fuck you. Go fuck your face. That was March 21st, 1943. Late November 1943 by Axel. Nice first. I like that name. Axel Freiherr von dem Busch. What the... Bro. Axel Freiherr von dem Busch Streithorst. My guy. That's not a real name. I refuse. That's not a real name. Not a real name. That was in late 1943. In February 1944 by Ewald Heinrich von Kleisch Smeissen. March 11th, 1944. Ebert Freiherr von Breitenbuch. Is Freiherr a fucking, like, common name? Like, I don't understand. As the war situation deteriorated, Hitler no longer appeared in public and rarely visited Berlin. He spent most of the time at his headquarters, the Wolf's Lair, in East Prussia, which is now Poland, where this July 20th plot took place, with occasional breaks at his Bavarian mountain retreat, Albersberg, which is also known as the Eagle's Nest. In both places, he was heavily guarded and rarely saw people he did not know or trust. Himmler and the Gestapo were increasingly suspicious of plots against Hitler and rightfully suspected the officers of the General Staff, which was the General Army, which was indeed the source of many conspiracies against him. By the summer of 1944, now the shit's hitting the fan by 1944, we got D-Day, the boys landed in fucking France for some fucking snails and some fucking refried fucking German ass. So by 1944 summer, and the Soviets were coming in hot and true with their vodka. So this is summer 1944. The Gestapo was closing in on the conspirators when Stauffenberg sent Treskow a message through Lieutenant Heinrich Graf von Lendorf Steinhort. I fucking hate all these people and their fucking stupid names, asking whether there was any reason for trying to assassinate Hitler, given that no political purpose would be served. Treskow's response was, quote, "The assassination must be attempted." Kote ku kote. I guess that's, I don't know, is that Latin? I don't fucking know, I'm Greek. Whatever the cost, that's what that means. "Even if it fails, we must take action in Berlin. For the practical purpose no longer matters. What matters now is that the German resistance movements must take the plunge before the eyes of the world and of history. Compared to that, nothing else matters." So the kids were in. They were in it to win it. Himmler had at least one, Heinrich Himmler, who was the head of the SS, very bad fucking guy. Himmler had at least one conversation with a known oppositionist. I don't know why I keep saying opportunist. With a known oppositionist when in August 1943, the Prussian finance minister, Johann Papitz, thanks, brother. 2 fucking names like a normal fucking human being. I very much do appreciate it. So in August 1943, the Prussian finance minister, Johann Papitz, Uncle Johann's, who was involved in Goldler's network, which is the bigger network of the German resistance against the Nazi Party, came to see him and offered him the support of the opposition if he would make a move to displace Hitler and secure a negotiated end to the war. Nothing came of this meeting, but Pappas was not immediately arrested, although he was later executed towards the end of the war. And Himmler apparently did nothing to track down the resistance networks, which he knew was operating within the state bureaucracy. It is possible that Himmler, who by late 1943 knew that the war was unwinnable, allowed the plot to go ahead in the belief that if it had succeeded, he would most likely be Hitler's successor, and he could be the one to bring about a peace settlement and be the leader of Germany. Pappas was not alone in seeing Himmler as a potential ally. General von Bock advised Treskow to seek his support, but there is no evidence that he did so. Goldler was apparently also in indirect contact with Himmler via mutual acquaintance. Karl Langben, Wilhelm Canaris, biographer Heinz Hohn suggests that Canaris and Himmler were working together to bring a change to the regime, but this remains speculation. Yeah, let's stop, okay? Trying to give fucking Heinrich Himmler some fucking good press. The guy was a fucking monster. Treskow and the inner circle of plotters had no intention of removing Hitler just to see him replaced by a dreaded and ruthless SS chief, and the plan was to kill them both if possible, to the extent that Stauffenberg's first attempt on July 11th was aborted because Himmler was not present. So now it's getting hot and heavy right now. Countdown to Stauffenberg's attempt. So they tried to do this a few times, and a few times they had a abort mission. And there's a really crazy picture of, at the Wolf's Lair, Hitler saying what's up to some officers, and Stauffenberg's right there, like, just shook his hand. First week of July, 1944. On Saturday, July 1st, 1944, Stauffenberg was appointed chief of staff to the General Fromm at the Reserve Army headquarters in central Berlin. This position enabled Stauffenberg to attend Hitler's military conferences either at the Wolf's Lair or at the Eagle's Nest, and would thus give him an opportunity, perhaps the last that would be present, that would present itself, to kill Hitler with a bomb or a pistol. Meanwhile, new key allies have been gained. This included General Karl Heinrich von Stoppelnagel. I hate these fucking German names. The German military commander in France who would take control in Paris when Hitler was killed, and it was hoped negotiate an immediate armistice with the invading Allied army. The plot was now fully prepared and primed and ready to rock. On July 7th, 1944, General Helmut Steiff was to kill Hitler at a display of new uniforms at Kleissim Castle near Salzburg. However, Steiff felt unable to kill Hitler. Stauffenberg now decided to do both, to assassinate Hitler wherever he was and to manage the plot in Berlin. If you ask me, respect to Stauffenberg, brass fucking ballsack, that's a mistake. Right, because it's not like he just clipped him in Berlin and he's just going over to the next fucking office down the block or something. He's got to fucking travel 4 hours where there's like chaos going on. On July 14th, Stauffenberg attended Hitler's conferences carrying a bomb in his briefcase. But because the conspirators had decided that Heinrich Himmler and Hermann Göring should be killed simultaneously if the planned mobilization of Operation Valkyrie was to have a chance to succeed, he held back at the last minute because Himmler was not present. In fact, it was unusual for Himmler to attend military conferences at all. By July 15th, when Stauffenberg again flew to the Wolf's Lair, this condition had been dropped. The plan was for Stauffenberg to plant a briefcase with the bomb in Hitler's conference room with a timer running, excuse himself from the meeting, wait for the explosion, then fly back to Berlin and join the others in plotting from the General Army headquarters in Berlin. Operation Valkyrie would be mobilized, the Reserve Army would take control of Germany, and the other Nazi leaders would be arrested. Beck would be appointed provisional head of state, Goldler would be chancellor, and Weitzleben would be commander-in-chief of the armed forces. Again, on the 15th of July, the attempt was called off at the last minute. Himmler and Göring were present, but Hitler was called out of the room at the last minute. Stauffenberg was able to intercept the bomb and prevent its discovery. I mean, these guys are fucking crazy. Imagine you got a fucking bomb in your bag. You're over there with the high fucking brass, the highest of the high fucking Nazi command. And you see fucking Hitler's dipping out, going to fucking take a leak or whatever he's going to do. Take some fucking meth or whatever. And this guy Stauffenberg's got to intercept his fucking bomb again. For fuck's sake. So On the 18th of July, rumors reached Stauffenberg that the Gestapo had knowledge of the conspiracy and that he might be arrested at any time. This was apparently not true, but there was a sense that the net was closing in and the next opportunity to kill Hitler must be taken because there might not be another one. I mean, no shit. You've gotten so many false starts and you're so close to blowing this motherfucker up. I mean, everyone's fucking dicks are in a tizzy. Fucking blood pressure's peaking right now. Peak blood pressure season. Like, no shit, you're going to think the fucking walls are closing in, even if nobody knew anything. And this is scary shit to be pulling, trying to pull off. On the morning of July 20th, Stauffenberg flew back. This guy's piling on the fucking miles, kid. Flew back to the Wolf's Lair for another Hitler military conference, once again with a bomb in his briefcase. At around 12:30 p.m., as the conference began, Stauffenberg asked to use the washroom in Wilhelm Keitel's office, saying he had to change his shirt, which indeed was soaked through with sweat. It was it being a very hot day, and also you're trying to blow up Hitler, bro. You telling me you're not fucking sweating? There, assisted by von Haften, he used pliers to crush the end of a pencil detonator inserted into 1 kilogram block of plastic explosive wrapped in brown paper. That was so the bomb was prepared by Wessel von Freytag Loringhoven. Wessel Loringhoven is more than enough. The detonator consisted of a thin copper tube containing cupric chloride that would take about 10 minutes to silently eat through the wire holding back the firing pin from the percussion cap. It was slow going due to war wounds that had caused Stauffenberg an eye in his right hand and 2 fingers on his left hand. Interrupted by a guard knocking on the door advising him that the meeting was about to begin, he was not able to prime the second bomb, which he gave to his aide-de-camp, Werner von Haften. So they're already fucking improvising. They're not in the bunker anymore. They're in a conference room with windows. It's not an enclosed space. And now they had 2 bombs. Now they only have 1. Stauffenberg placed a single prime bomb inside his briefcase, and with the unwitting assistance of Major Ernst John von Friend, entered the conference room containing Hitler and 20 officers, positioning the briefcase under the table near Hitler. After a few minutes, Stauffenberg received a planned telephone call and left the room. It is presumed that Colonel Heinz Brandt, who was standing next to Hitler, used his foot to move the briefcase aside by pushing it behind the leg of the conference room table, thus unwittingly deflecting the blast from Hitler but causing the loss of one of his legs and his own demise when the bomb detonated. At 12:42, the bomb detonated, demolishing the conference room and killing the stenographer instantly. Imagine being the fucking stenographer. Like, I got this fucking sick gig. It's for the Wolf Slayer. I'm a stenographer. The benefits are sick. You know what I mean? We get weekends off and stuff. Sometimes when, like, the Russians are really pushing our buttons, we come in early. I get overtime. It's pretty dope. He got clipped. Done. More than 20 people in the room were injured, with 3 officers later perishing. Hitler survived, as did everyone else who was shielded from the blast by the conference table leg. His trousers were singed and tattered, and he suffered a perforated eardrum, as did most of the other 24 people in the room. Also, his arm was pretty fucking mangled, supposedly. So the bomb's popping off. Stauffenberg's got to get the fuck out of Dodge and get back to Berlin, right? Stauffenberg was seen leaving the conference building by Kurt Salterberg, a soldier on guard duty, who did not consider this out of the ordinary, as attendees sometimes left to collect documents. He then experienced a massive explosion that hurled men through the window. Stauffenberg, upon witnessing the explosion and smoke, erroneously assumed that Hitler was truly dead. He then climbed into the staff car with his aide, Werner. I think when you get bigger and bigger, I guess, in like German hierarchy, you get more fucking names. Werner von Haften. And managed to bluff his way past 3 checkpoints to exit the Wolf's Lair complex. Werner von Haften then tossed a second unprimed bomb into the forest as they made a dash for Rastenburg Airfield, reaching it before it could be realized that Stauffenberg could be responsible for the explosion. By 1300, that's 1 p.m., Colonel von Stauffenberg was in the air, heading back towards Berlin. By the time Stauffenberg's aircraft reached Berlin at about 1600, that's 4 p.m., General Erich Feigebel, these fucking names, an officer at the Wolf Slayer who was in on the plot, had phoned the Bender Block, which was the Army Reserve Office, where they were going to be, you know, quarterbacking the coup d'etat, and told the plotters that Hitler had survived the explosion. As a result, the plot to mobilize Operation Valkyrie would have no chance of succeeding once the officers of the Reserve Army knew that Hitler was alive. There was more confusion when Stauffenberg's aircraft landed, and he phoned from the airport to say that Hitler was in fact dead. The Bender Block plotters did not know whom to believe. Finally, at 4 p.m., Olbricht issues the orders of Operation Valkyrie to be mobilized. The vacillating General Fromm, however, phoned Field Marshal Wilhelm Keitel at the Wolf's Lair and was assured that Hitler was alive. Keitel demanded to know Stauffenberg's whereabouts. This told Fromm that the plot had been traced to his headquarters and that he was in mortal danger. Fromm replied that he thought Stauffenberg was with Hitler. Meanwhile, Karl Heinrich von Stauppenagel, military governor of occupied France, was the guy who was going to take over fucking France for them, which was like a big piece of it all, managed to disarm the SD and SS and capture most of their leadership. He traveled to Gunther von Kluge's headquarters and asked him to contact the Allies, only to be informed that Hitler was alive. Ugh, that's pouring salt on the boner. At 4:40, Stauffenberg and Heifetz arrived at the Bender Block. Fromm, presumably to protect himself, changed sides and attempted to have Stauffenberg arrested. Olbricht and Stauffenberg restrained him at gunpoint, and Olbricht then appointed General Erich Hoppner to take over his duties. By this time, Himmler had taken charge of the situation and had issued orders countermanding Olbricht's mobilization of Operation Valkyrie. In many places, the coup was going ahead as planned, led by officers who believed that Hitler was actually dead. The guy heading the general staff, General Paul von Heiss, ordered his crew under the command of Major Otto Ernst Reimer to secure the Ministry of Propaganda and arrest Joseph Goebbels. In Vienna, Prague, and many other places, troops occupied Nazi party offices were arrested. So they were arresting people all over the place. They were not just Berlin. They were arresting people in every fucking, most of the places that they occupied. So by 6:10, the commander of the Berlin, of District 3, Berlin, General Joachim von Kurzfleisch, was summoned to the Bender Block. He angrily refused Olbricht's orders, kept shouting the Führer is alive. He was then arrested and held under guard. General Karl Freiherr von Thung was appointed in his place but proved little help. General Fritz Lindemann was supposed to make a proclamation to the German people over the radio. He failed to do so, and Beck had to work on a new statement basically saying that we've taken control, Hitler's dead, blah, blah, blah. By 7 p.m., Hitler was sufficiently recovered to make phone calls. He called Goebbels at the propaganda ministry. Goebbels arranged for Hitler to speak to Major Reimer, who was supposed to arrest Goebbels. After assuring him that he was alive, Hitler ordered Reimer to regain control of the situation in Berlin. Major Reimer ordered his troops to surround and seal the Bender Block, but not to enter the buildings. At 8 p.m., a furious Waitsleben arrived at the Bender Block and had a bitter argument with Stauffenberg, who was still insisting the coup could go ahead. As Reimer regained control of the city and word spread that Hitler was still alive, the less resolute members of the conspiracy in Berlin began changing sides. Fromm was freed from his room, and fighting broke out in the Bender Block between officers supporting and officers opposing the coup. Stauffenberg was wounded after a shootout. As the fighting was still ongoing, Reimer and his forces arrived at the Bender Block, and the conspirators were overwhelmed and arrested. By 2300, which is 11? Yeah, baby. Fromm and Reimer had regained control of the building. Perhaps hoping that a show of zealous loyalty would save him, Fromm convened an impromptu court-martial consisting of himself and sentenced Olbricht, Stauffenberg, Heifetz, and another officer, Albrecht Mertz von Quirnheim, to death while putting Beck under arrest. Beck, realizing the situation was hopeless, asked for a pistol and shot himself, the first of many attempted suicides in the coming days. At first, Beck only seriously wounded himself. He was then shot in the neck and killed by soldiers. Despite protests from Reimer, who had been ordered by Hitler to arrest the conspirators, at 12:10 a.m. on July 21st, the four officers were executed in the courtyard outside, possibly to prevent them from revealing Fromm's involvement. Others would have been executed as well, but at 12:30, Waffen-SS personnel led by Opensgruppenführer Otto Skorzeny arrived, and further executions were forbidden. And that was it. The coup failed. Hitler was alive, still in control. I mean, it wouldn't matter because Hitler ended up killing himself less than a year later in Berlin in his bunker when the Soviets were closing in. I think these guys are the only people who have, like, actual German army, there's an actual memorial for these guys, for the German army and from World War II. Like, they don't really do that in Germany because they were the Nazis. But for these guys who try to overthrow it, they actually have a memorial for them. Hitler survives with minor injuries. The military coup fails within 5 hours. 7,000 people are arrested. 4,980 are executed. So that's it. That's Operation Valkyrie and the July 20th plot to kill Adolf Hitler and take control of the German army, the German government, and try and secure peace with the Allies. The thing, again, with these guys, like, even if they did clip Hitler and take control and stuff like that, they still would have been a super right-wing fucking government. They would have reinstalled probably the Kaiser and had some kind of, like, monarchy or constitutional monarchy that's a bit more right than the, you know, it's not going to be like Britain. It's going to be like a fucking right-wing authoritative fucking government. But, I mean, anybody was better than Hitler at that point. In the movie, they say, like, close all the concentration camps. I don't even know if that's true. Like, let's go. I know, like, the movie's trying to fucking, like, you know, not make it. Like, oh, we're celebrating, like, right-wingers, but, like, fascists. But I don't know if they were going to actually close concentration camps. So, yeah, that's it. That's July 20th. I don't know how to end it. I want to say thank you to the people listening. Very much do appreciate it. I hope you're having a great day, great month. Staying cool because it's fucking disgusting in New York. Very humid. And yeah, I'm not good at doing these by myself, guys, so I'm sorry. I'm not good at reading. I can't read aloud. Like, I can read. I am literate. But reading aloud is always tough. My ADD spikes. As it does. And yeah, we out here, baby. This is Dirtbag History. I'm D. Do me a favor. Like and subscribe. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, rate and review it. And the best thing you possibly do is share it with your friends. Share it with your friends. Tell them how great it is. Tell them how great I am. How cute I am. And yeah. Adolf Hitler was a bad dude. You know what I mean? I mean, I'm just trying to think back like that. Those few weeks in July when these guys are like starting, stopping, balking at the fucking, you know, actually killing him. This guy Stauffenberg's got to be fucking freaking out. Like, could you imagine doing that for 3 weeks? You have a bomb in your bag and then you got to go retrieve the bomb because you just aborted it, the mission. Fuck off. That's wild. Anyway. They died. I mean, everyone's dead here, right? This happened fucking 80 years ago. What a dummy Hitler was. No? Because, like, you know, it started off pretty good in terms of, like, military successes, right? Taking over Poland, Czechoslovakia, fucking Greece, fucking, you know, the Balkans. Taking over France, setting up a bullshit Vichy France, fucking half of France was like a fascist government. Spain was with you. I mean, if they kept their deal with the Soviet Union to the non-aggression pact that they signed and not like try to surprise fucking attack them and just basically focus on the UK and maybe like focus all their efforts in terms of like invading the United Kingdom and taking over England, you're talking a very different time in, like, a very different future, right? Like, you're talking something very fucking different. At minimum, you got to assume, let's say they take over the UK, wait a couple years, and then go after the Soviet Union. Then they might have a better chance. But then I guess, like, they're going to attack the United States, and then war is war, but you know, it's a different thing if, let's say, Germany takes over the UK and then Japan attacks the United States and the United States declares war, but who are they? Who are their allies besides the Soviet Union? And don't forget the U.S. had to fight a war on two fronts. So it's tricky. It's interesting just how dumb Hitler is. You know what I mean? Like, militarily. Like, fucking hey, dude. You got every fucking advantage. Don't go after the fucking commies. They're going to, literally, like, the Soviet Union, like it or not, I know communism, gross. But like it or not, 20 million people died. And a lot of those were soldiers and a lot of those were civilians. So like they just fucking threw human suffering at the Nazi war machine and human suffering won. Because I feel like if it was without the Soviet Union, most likely you're talking there's a fucking Nazi regime or like remnants even bigger remnants than there are now of it, because they're still right wing, you know, nationalistic fucking people in Europe and the United States and everywhere you look. But you're talking like an actual legit government in Europe. That's crazy to think about. Like today, 80 years later. Very interesting. So shout out to Klaus von Stauffenberg, Hemming von Treskow, who ends up getting sent to the Eastern Front and kills himself before they arrest him. And all the boys in the July 20th plot in Operation Valkyrie. Fuck Himmler. He's a fucking loser. Fuck Hitler, obviously, too. And fuck Hermann Göring, too. He's a fat fuck. He loved morphine. He was the head of the Luftwaffe, former fighter pilot, ace in World War I. Loved morphine. Loved it. And yeah, that's the show. This is Dirtbag History. I love you. Stay positive out there. What do I have coming up? I got some shit coming up. I was ruminating, all right, baby? I love you. Bye.